Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Hey, put your hands together for Darren and the worship team leading us in worship this morning. So welcome all of you. So glad that you're here. It's always fun to come hang out on Sunday morning. Welcome our online viewers. Everybody put your hands together and let them know that we're celebrating them as well today. How about Cole Hatfield last week? Didn't he do a good job finishing up the series on prayer? And so, man, we got such a cool group of people around here. Today, I'll just tell you, how many of you have noticed it's been hot outside? Come on, somebody. We've had the best summer ever, but we're getting into those dog days of summer, and it's August, and it's hot in August. So we're going to kick off a four-week series, and the topic of our four-week series is can actually be hot as well. We're going to take a deep dive off into a subject that I believe was preached about a whole lot in generations past. It was preached a lot about when I was a kid. It was preached a lot about to my parents and to my grandparents. But in my opinion, it's a subject that has been skirted around over the past couple of generations. We've just not talked about it. And I want to tell you something today. I want to tell you that the kind of pastor that I desire to be. You know, I will never be one of the greatest pastors. I'm not the most loving and compassionate pastor. And if you say amen, I'm coming off this stage and tackling you right now. I'm never going to be one of those preachers that can preach and speak and pronounce words and have perfect grammar. But I want to be the kind of pastor that is not afraid to preach about the good subjects, but not afraid to preach about the hard subjects as well. There will come a day when I will stand before God just like you, and I will be held accountable. God will hold me accountable for the way that I pastored. And if you're going to be a pastor in the year 2025, and you're going to preach the entire Word of God, how many of you know the Word of God is inspired by God, and all of it is good from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, and we don't need to pick and choose which topics that we preach about. You need to have a pastor, can I say this, who has some cojones and will stand up and preach the Word of God, the ones that make you feel good, the ones that make you excited, but preach also the topics that will make you cringe just a little bit and make you think really hard about the way that you're living your life, the way you're conducting your marriage, the way that you are raising your children, and the way that you do your business. That's the kind of pastor that I desire to be. I know full well that when you are that kind of pastor and you preach hard and you preach the truth unapologetically, it is very easy for you to make enemies. Can I tell you that when I preach something, I know I have sat in a congregation before and I've been living a life that I know I shouldn't be living, and I've been doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing, and I have been guilty of sitting in the congregation, and when the preacher preaches about something that hits home to me, I think he's preaching to me and he singled me out. Can I tell you anything that I preach, I am preaching it to myself before I'm preaching it to you. It is nothing personal. It is real. It's the Word of God. And how many of you know we need some pastors in 2025 that will preach the unapologetic truth of the Word of God, whether you make friends or whether you make enemies? Just saying, that's the kind of pastor that I desire to be, because like I said, I will be held accountable for what I preached to you guys. We're going to discuss for the next 4 weeks the reality of eternity. Just let that word sink in for a minute. We're going to discuss the reality of eternity, of forever, of what happens when we get through living our 75, 85, 95 years on this earth. What happens after we give ourselves to a job? What happens after we give ourselves to trying to make some money, to build this reputation and to protect our image? What happens after we raise our kids and go to church a few times? What happens when this life is over? What happens to eternity? We're going to discuss eternity, and we're going to discuss the two options that you and I have of where we spend our eternity. If we're going to be Bible believers and we're going to read the Bible, there are two destinations when this life is over, and those two destinations are heaven and hell. heaven and hell. These topics, they are clearly presented in the scripture. They're clearly presented in the word of God. If you read the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the red letters are the words of Jesus himself. Jesus didn't skirt around the topic of eternal life. He didn't skirt around the topic of heaven or of hell. He preached about all of them, both of them. And over the years, let's be real. Can we be real today? Can you say a good amen? This preaching of heaven and hell and this preaching of eternity, it's gotten a bad rap over the years. Because here's what they say. Oh, he's just getting up there preaching that hellfire and brimstone kind of preaching. Well, you know what? God is good, and God does have plans for you, and God does want to prosper you, and God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think, and you are a new creation, and God wants you to experience the greater things of life. But the truth is, heaven and hell are real, and we got to talk about them. We got to talk about them. Hellfire and brimstone, they call it doomsday preaching. Y'all remember back before 2000 rolled around, Y2K, and everything when it rolled over to 2000, the computers were going to mess up, everything was going to fall apart. People had stockpiled all these canned goods and stockpiled water over here. We thought we were going to die. It's not doomsday preaching. It's not hellfire and brimstone. It's not fear-mongering. I'm not trying to create fear so that you'll make some sort of decision. The goal of this series is none of that. The goal of this series is to simply open the Bible and learn the truth about these topics. I want us to start out today by defining three terms. Let's define them. Let's talk about them. And the first term I want us to understand is eternity. It's a word. Like, if I'm being real with y'all, I've almost been preaching for 25 years. I'm 52 years old. But over the last several weeks while we've been praying and leading up to this sermon series, when I am in my pickup by myself, and I don't have my phone to scroll on. For those of you that scroll on your phone while you're driving, you're a fool, I'm just saying. When I'm by myself, when I'm on a horse, when I'm doctoring those yearlings on grass, and when I'm by myself and I begin to think of this word eternity, man, it's just a term that I don't really understand. It's a term that's hard to grasp, and I know that I belong to Jesus. I've given my life and my marriage and my family to preaching the good news, but if I'm telling you the truth, that word eternity, it does something to my heart. It does something to my mind. It makes me think a little bit differently. You know, we need to understand what eternity is. The most famous scripture of all times, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternity in heaven. What does eternity mean? It means this: a forever existence. Forever. Forever. Let that sink in. Forever. No beginning and no end. When I was talking about bringing up this preaching, this sermon series, I started talking to my kids about it, because I talked to them because they helped me relate to a younger generation. Come on, somebody. And I was talking to Jesse about eternity, and Jesse goes, wow, like eternity, that word. He said, everything in our life, he's 21, everything in our life always had a beginning and it always had an end. Church starts at 11 and it's over at 12:15. It has a beginning and it has an end. Summer, we just started back to school. Summer had a beginning and summer had an end. Everything has a beginning and an end, but eternity doesn't. It's forever. It makes us think differently. A forever existence. There's two choices of where we get to spend eternity: heaven or hell. Let's define heaven. Heaven is this. It's the place where God lives. And how many of you know, I want to be where God is. Because God is the giver of life. God is the giver of peace. When you're in the presence of God, it is void of anxiety. It is void of stress. It is void of pain. Wherever God is where I want to be. It's the place where God abides, where the angels and the spirits of the righteous live after death. It's heaven. I want to go there one day. I believe through Jesus I am. There's eternity and there's heaven and then there's hell. The topic that we don't talk about much because it makes us uncomfortable. But the very definition of hell is this: a place or state of punishment for the wicked after death. A place of punishment, a place or state of punishment for the wicked after death. There's eternity, there's heaven, and there's hell. Let's talk about eternity a little bit more. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to live a long time on this earth? Can I hear a good amen? Like, I'm going to go to heaven someday, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be exciting, and they're going to be riding white horses in heaven, and there's going to be cattle on a thousand hills, and there's going to be rivers, and there's going to be fruit trees, and it's going to be streets of gold, and most of all, we're going to be standing around the throne, and Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne, and every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered around the throne. There'll be Baptists and Church of Christ and Methodists and Assemblies of God all gathered in unison singing praise to God Almighty. It's going to be a good place to go. But you know what? Lord, let me stay here as long as I can. Come on, somebody. Like, I want to stay here and continue my marriage, and I want to stay here and continue to preach to you knuckleheads, and I want to continue to watch my kids grow and watch my kids get married and have grandchildren. Just saying, we want to live as long as we can. We all do. We want to live. We want to live life. You know, it's just not human nature to just say, I want to die. I'm tired of this. I get it. We have struggles and we have seasons and we have separation and we have pain and we have sickness and we're like, I'm ready to die. I know we have seasons, but inside of all of us, we want to live and we want to live life. And can I tell you that we were created to live? Not live. We were created to live. We are the light of the world. Jesus lives in us. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We were created to live life and live life to the fullest. And we were created to experience moments with God and moments with other people. Let me read you a scripture, Ecclesiastes 8:15. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of life God has given him under the sun. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to live life. We're supposed to be full of passion, full of life, full of joy. Eat, drink, live life, work hard, and joy will follow us. We enjoy life. Can I tell you, look at me. Look. Some of you need to start enjoying the life God has given you. I get it. Life is hard. I get it. The enemy is real. But your life will change if you will refocus your mind and say, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to enjoy what I got. If I got a 10-room house, if I got a fancy brand-new pickup, I'm going to enjoy it. But if I live in a shack on the edge of the Shinry, driving a truck with 150,000 miles on it, I'm going to enjoy this life that God has given me. I'm going to enjoy the people that are around me. And we should strive to live life, to live life. You want to live as long as you can. Otherwise, why in the world would you go exercise or work out? Like, for real, that's no fun. We want to live forever. That's why we have a healthy diet. We watch what we eat. We want to live forever. That's why we go to the doctor. I've just been thinking about this thing, eternity, and I'm just being real with y'all. I did some research and I did some study. What is the average life expectancy of a male, of a man in America? What's the average life expectancy? 75 years. Average men die at age 75. What's the average life expectancy of a female, of a woman in America? 81. 75? You women live longer because it's easy to live with us men. Just saying. That's why we die younger. We just need a little bit of a break. You know what I'm saying? Just teasing. Think about that, men. Think about that, women. 75 and 81. Like, I've always been the young guy. I was the young preacher. I was the young cowboy. I'm 52 years old. I look good for that, I know. But if those statistics are true, and I live to the average age of men in America, 75, that means I got 20 or 25 years left. You ever think about that, men? 20 or 25 years left on this earth? And I'm mad over some stupid argument And I'm mad over the way somebody did me in a business deal. And I'm not enjoying my kids because I'm not being at home. And I'm not worried. I mean, 20 to 25 years, like, that's all I've got left. It has caused me to refocus my motivation and refocus the way that I think and go, you know what? I'm going to love my wife a little bit more. And if she makes me mad, I'm going to try really hard to overlook it and just keep loving her. I'm going to try to be all I can to spend time with my kids. I don't have a whole lot of time left on this earth. If you're a woman, it's the age 81, because at the end of my life, like, how many of you think, whoo, at the end of my life, they're going to be like Cody Cochran, preaching son of a buck. Man, my friend, I love him. You know what's going to, you know what the reality is this. When I die, my kids are going to have a little funeral for me, and they're going to go out here to this cemetery out east of town, and they're going to dig a 6-foot hole like all the other people that are out there through the rock. And they're going to put me in a box, and they're going to kick me in a hole, cover me up with some dirt, and that's going to be the end of my life. And maybe some people will cry, maybe some people will mourn, but in 10 or 15 years, I'll be completely forgotten about. It's just the reality. It's just the way it is. So you know what? What happens at that point? What happens at that point when this life is over? Eternity. Life after death, forever. I remember the first time I had to wrestle with this idea of eternity, that I really had to wrestle with it. The first time that I heard about it, and I heard about death, and I heard about eternal life. And John 3:16, it was at Wiley Baptist Church. Come on, somebody. Y'all know. Some of y'all know. It was at Wiley Baptist Church. I don't remember if it was Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, but it was one of those. And I sat down at my Sunday school class or my Vacation Bible School class with this 80-year-old woman who volunteered to teach the little kids. And they talked about John 3:16. They talk about death and about eternity. I was about 8 years old. I remember going home. I wrestled with it all day long. And I went home and I was in my grandparents' backyard swinging on one of those backyard swing sets. How many of y'all remember them old school swing sets? And if you got to swinging too high, it would kick up on one side or another over there. I'm swinging on that thing and my mind, my little young mind is racing and my mind is rolling and I'm thinking about dying and I'm thinking about eternity that never ends and I just lose my stuff. And I start crying, man, and I ran in the house through that screen door. I ran through that back porch and I found my nanny Jean in there and I'm crying and I'm like, I don't want to die. I don't understand. And to the best of her ability, man, she talked me off the ledge and she told me about hope in Jesus and she shared the gospel with me and it satisfied my little 8-year-old mind. But to be honest, there comes a time when each one of us, we got to wrestle with it. We got to think about it. We got to wrestle with eternity. What happens after life on this earth? Here's the reality. Here's why we have to wrestle with it. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Yet God made everything beautiful for its own time. Watch this. He, God, has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. You and I were created by God in the image of God, and we're created with eternity in our hearts. We got to wrestle with it. We got to think about it. We got to think about the reality of death. I get it. It's a heavy topic. I get it. It's a heavy subject. But death is real, and death is a part of life. Because here's the reality. No matter how many times a week you go to the gym and work out, no matter how clean your diet is and how healthy you take care of yourself, no matter how many times you go to the doctor and do what he says, can I tell you something today? None of us are 10-foot tall and bulletproof. Here's the reality, Hebrews 9:27, and just as each person is destined to die once, after that comes judgment. You know what we all have in common in here today? Man, as I look out across this congregation, this is like a Heinz 57 congregation over here. We got all different kinds of people and ages and single and married and nationalities and races and denominations. And the one thing that we all have in common is this. We're all going to die someday. We're all going to die someday. It's appointed once all to die. Job 14:5 says this. Man's days are determined. You, God, have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. None of us can work hard enough, eat good enough, and exercise enough to outlive the number of days that God has allotted for you and I to live on this earth. When our time is up, our time is up. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 2, there's for everything a season, a time for every matter under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. It's cool to see all these little babies running around Bethel Assembly. Like three or four people are running around, and they get their own staff, and they're in the back, and they're between services, and babies are crying, and they got bottles out, and the moms are going over and hiding in the corner and nursing them. It's just babies. Life is awesome, and God intended for life to be born. There's a time and a season for us to die. When are we going to die? Well, you know, I'll outlive all y'all. That's what I tell Cole and Connor all the time. I'll outlive you suckers forever. I'll be preaching y'all's funeral one of these days. But the reality is I don't know the days that God has allotted for me. And you know what? Most of us will wake up in the morning and we'll go to work. Most of us will wake up tomorrow. We'll be wives. We'll be husbands. We'll do our deal. But we have to understand. James 4:14 says this. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. I do lots of funerals, and call it weird, call it crazy. I enjoy doing funerals. It's helping people through a dark time. It's helping people through a tough time. And just in this year, in the beginning of 2025, I buried a 73-year-old woman yesterday. A few weeks ago, I buried a 40-year-old woman. 40-year-old wife, mom. And this year, I buried a 27-year-old young man. Boom. We think we know, but do we really know how long we'll be here? Is a decision to have spend our eternal life in heaven, is it worth putting off? Is it worth waiting? Or is it something that we should wrestle with right now and make sure that no matter what happens in my life, this life is not my home. My home is in heaven, and I am going to be prepared right now, no matter what might happen, to know that I'm going to accept Jesus and I'll spend eternity with him. The question is not, are we going to die? The question is, when we die, then what? Then what? Every day matters. I'm just going to challenge you guys with something. Every day matters. Every decision matters. Every choice, every thought, every moment, every encounter we have, it matters, y'all. It matters. How many would agree with me? This life of trying to follow Jesus, it ain't always easy. Life sometimes hits you in the face. Death hits you in the face. Sickness hits you in the face. Peer pressure over here. Pressure from culture. Pressure from your old friends. Pressure. It hits us. It's not easy. But you were not created to live an easy life. You were created to be more than a conqueror, and you are created to be an overcomer in life. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 7:13-14. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Our daily life and daily choices matter. We have to go down the narrow way. I know I'm going to exceed my time a little bit today, but I'm going to take my time. Because there is a culture in the Christian church today that says, oh, it's easy. Oh, it's wide. There are many ways to get to heaven. Oh, if you'll just be a good person. Oh, if you'll just follow these 10 commandments. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It doesn't matter how good we are or how many rules we follow. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags considering the righteousness of God. And there is only one way to go down that narrow gate, and it is through the blood of our only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's not on us, it's on him. We must work every day. Choices matter for us, and choices matter for those around us. One day, life as you and I know it is going to end the way that we know it now. and we'll stand before Jesus. Matthew 25. Let's read the scripture. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels are with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left hand. Verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. There'll be some sheep and there'll be some goats. There will be a separation. Matthew 25, 41 says, the king will say to the sheep, come with me. Matthew 25, 41 says, then the king will turn to those on the left, the goats. Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. At the end of time, Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. How many know we all get to run together? How many of you are living with some goats right now? Come on, somebody. At the end of time, there'll be a separation. The sheep get to go to heaven, the goats go to hell. Here's a question we have to wrestle with. People say this all the time. How, if God is so good and if God is so loving, how can he send someone to hell, to a place of eternal punishment? Can I tell you, God sends us nowhere. God gives us free will and gives us the choice to choose where we're going to go. God is a good God. God created us. God created you and me and male and female in a way that they could come together and reproduce and have children. God created the earth and the seas and the skies and the cattle and the horses and said, you have dominion. Go get it all. And the way that we will spend our eternity in hell is when we rebel against the very God that gave us life. I don't know about you, but I got like a rebel spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I know what I ought to be doing, but I have this desire to do what I know I shouldn't be doing. It's tough. It's hard. But here's the deal. I have heard the voice of God call out to me while I was acting like a wild goat and said, Cody, come be one of my sheep and come follow me through the narrow gate. That's all it is. That's the only thing separates in a sheep and a goat is a sheep hears the voice of God and responds and comes and follows him. Let me read you some scripture. John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my own sheep and they know me. God is calling out. He's the good shepherd. He's calling to everyone in creation. Red, yellow, black, and white, in prison, in church, on the ranch, in the city. He's calling out to everyone. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know you, Elena. I know you, Kelly. I know you, Chachi. I know you, Tate. I know where you screwed up. I know where you messed up. I know where your faults are, but I love you anyway, and I love you enough not to leave you where you are, and he's calling us out of our mess, and he's calling us to live in his righteousness. He's calling us. And you know what I believe? I believe according to scripture, we can all hear the voice of the good shepherd calling us. He's in the pens. He's calling out to us, Johnny. He's calling us out to us, Bruce. He's calling out to us to come unto him. Watch John 10:7. John 10:7, Jesus said, so he explained it to them, I will tell you the truth, I am the gate for my sheep. As you hear God's voice calling you, will you hear that voice and respond to that voice? Let him be your good shepherd. Let him be your covering. Let him be the one that brings value to your life. Let him be the one that will lead you through the gate. You got to remember, Jesus is the gate. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no man gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We just have to hear his voice and respond and walk through that gate. Worship team, would you come help me close this thing today? I'm going to challenge you with this. Would you bow your heads while the worship team is coming? Because I want to take just a moment. And I want us to experience some silence. Silence can be awkward. Some people can't sleep in silence. They have to have a fan going. They have to have a TV going. We don't like silence because silence causes us to have to focus. And in silence, we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out to us. So we're going to take a few minutes while the worship team comes, and we're going to be in silence. And I ask you, Lord, to call out to the sheep, to call out to the goats. Maybe there's some wayward sheep. The one that left the 99 that's off out doing their own deal. Lord, speak. Lord, call our names. You know the very number of hairs that are on our head. You created us. Speak, Good Shepherd, to your people. Just a few seconds of silence. Think about eternity. Think about your life, the life of those around you. Wrestle with it. Here's the bottom line, you guys. Eternity is real. Eternity is reality. We're going to get a little short time down here on earth. And while we're down here on earth, learn to enjoy what you've got. Can I say this in love? Quit belly aching and griping and complaining about what you don't have or what you lost in the past. And know that if you're still alive, God is still on your side. He's the Good Shepherd. Enjoy life. Because eternity is real. We're all going to die at some point. And trust me, we're going to talk more about this in the next few weeks. Heaven is real. And what a place it's going to be. What an amazing place it's going to be. We get to see our Savior, the one that died for us when we wasn't worth a plug nickel. I'm going to see my granddaddy and my nanny Jean. I'm going to see a place where we come and there's no sickness and no pain. Heaven's real. And the way we live now matters. The reality is this, hell is real too. And hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of suffering. And the Bible describes it this way, where the fire never goes out and the worm doesn't die. Constant torment. We're created, y'all, to be eternal beings, and we have eternity in our heart. Be reminded, eternal life in heaven is only found in faith in Jesus Christ. When we say yes, and when we hear his voice, and when we respond, and when we come to him bringing all of our junk and all of our yuck and all of our struggles, when we come to him, at the moment we begin to follow him, everything changes, and then we have this blessed assurance that comes over us, and we go, now I am a child of God, and I've been adopted in the family of God. So let me ask you this, and then I'm done. Anybody in here? Let's bow our heads because we're weird about this stuff too. Do it one more time. If you're here today and you've never ever made the decision to invite Christ into your heart, to trust him and his redemptive work on the cross, if you don't know that you know that you know that if you were to die in a car wreck on the way home today, if you don't know that you'd be in heaven, today's the day for you to make that decision and make that choice, because eternity can start right now. So let me ask you, with courage and boldness, if you've never invited Christ into your heart but you want to do that today, would you just raise your hand right now? Just raise your hand. We want to walk through that with you. We want to encourage you. God bless you, girl. God bless you, girl. Several of you across this congregation, I want to encourage you today. I want you to know where you sat, where you are right now. By raising your hand, it indicates to me that you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you and you responded. And you walked through that gate and now you are a sheep in the sheepfold of God. And God has great plans for you. You are forgiven. You are washed in the blood. You are changed right now by the power of Almighty God. And your eternal destination is set. Praise the Lord. Can we put our hands together and celebrate that some people today? I mean, really? Can we celebrate? Brothers and sisters gave their life to Christ. Eternity has been changed. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. For the rest of you, I challenge you with this. Every day matters. Every thought, every word, every action matters. Let's live like we have eternity in our heart, and let's live to bring glory to God. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's close with a song of worship.